This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast Friday night preview show, because it is, well, actually for us quite early. It's only 2 minutes past seven. There are usually sweepstakes really predicting that it won't be 5 or 6 or 7 minutes past seven that we start. So here we are again on another Friday. I mean, it seems like months since we were last here on a Friday because of the flaming international break, interminable international break, as I'm going to rename it. But here we are. We've got Villa tomorrow, so we need to talk about that. And I, of course, am Stamford Chidge. And through the square window tonight, we have Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Lovely to be on the show. I do apologise. I'm just having a snack, which is rare for me before I come on. But great to be on the show. Thanks very much. Glad to be on.
I'm really relieved to hear that, because, of course, you know, we did a podcast in between. Chelsea's last match and the one tomorrow, and it was a four-hour epic. And JK informed me at the end of it, I haven't actually eaten anything tonight. And I felt terrible. Thought I was going to like kill you or something. But there you go.
It was so riveting that I forgot. And it was just the end. I thought I ought to eat something. Really, yeah. I'm rather ravenous. Yeah.
Hey, good to see you as always, mate. Now, the third member of our. Our Chelsea Fancast squad tonight is Mr. Dane Whittle, wearing a very nice kind of 1982. Is that five? Yeah, that's after the one I really love.
And only had it for 1 year. Yeah. It was the third shirt I ever had, and I liked it because it was the first shirt when it shone in the sun. You could see obviously in between the all the little semblance of Lecoq Sportif. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very nice shirt. That. Well done, you. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, evening. Yeah. This has been last 7 days. It would have been four podcasts, but after that marathon one we had last Friday, you postponed the Monday one. But yeah, no, it's really good to be back soon.
Good stuff. And you were on Wentamo King's Meadow this week, so that was good to hear.
Yeah,
you on
Wednesday.
There.
Yeah. Thank you.
And of course, completing the quartet tonight, we have the absolutely fantastic Adam Newson, who of course is the Chelsea correspondent for football.london. Adam, lovely to see you.
Thanks very much for having me on again, guys. Always appreciate it. Always enjoy it.
Well, we appreciate the fact that you're always so appreciative, because it really is a privilege to have you on as much as we do, because I know how hard you work. So the fact that you can spend 20 minutes or so nattering to us on a Friday evening is very humbling. So it's lovely to see you.
Thanks, mate. That's nice of you to say.
There we go. Right. Yes, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing what 2 weeks without Chelsea does to you. It makes you feel much nicer and calmer and, you know, pleasant, basically. Maybe that's what's happening. I don't know.
We're more irritated, Chidge.
I am actually, do you know what? I'm so knackered, frankly, after just a mental week, that I'm bereft of any energy to be spiky and horrible and poisonous like I usually am.
After Southgate making exactly the same error he made in the final against Poland, you just think,
I don't care.
I'm giving myself to the team again. I always make this mistake. I give myself to England.
No, don't do it. I gave up.
Mountain Greenwich. Mount and Grealish, though, play wonderfully together.
I gave all that nonsense up in 2006, and my life has been much better, as a result. Anyway, we need to kick off with the, obviously, Chelsea Villa tomorrow. Thomas Tuchel did a presser, and I do believe Adam was there.
I was indeed.
This is what we love. Our man at Cobham, fantastic. Now, I mean, obviously, mate, most of the, you know, talking about the interminable break was who was going to come back injured. And lo and behold, we knew that Pulisic had got an ankle injury, so we kind of knew he was out. I kind of suspected that Kante wouldn't make it because we know, I mean, he was injured before. That's a bit of a worry that he's still not fit a couple of weeks later. Thank God Lukaku seems to be fit, although I know he's got a thigh issue. But it was a bit like emergency ward 10 at one stage, wasn't it? But it seems to have come out a little bit better than we were thinking.
Yeah, thankfully. Romelu Lukaku seems fine. Thomas Tuchel was a bit bemused almost that he was asked about that. He sort of just said, well, he's trained yesterday and he's trained today, so he's fine, which was nice to hear. The Christian Pulisic one, yeah, Tuchel said about 10 days. Obviously, it's another injury for Christian Pulisic they have added up over the last couple of seasons. And it's really starting to harm him now, obviously, and there's such competition for him. He needs to, when he does get in the team, stay there consistently, and he just isn't able to do that. And N'Golo Kante, yeah, he suffered this ankle injury pre-Super Cup, played the Super Cup for an hour, missed Palace, came on against Arsenal, and then obviously played, 45 minutes against Liverpool, and it's sort of flared up again once Sadio Mane landed on it. And it is a concern because it's obviously not 100% healed. Hopefully the international break has given it some time to do that. But given Chelsea play, I guess, 7 games in the next 21 days, they're going to need N'Golo Kante fit just because we know how important he is. And there's obviously games against City and Tottenham to come in that run. So need him back.
I mean, on that point, Adam, is something I was talking about at the beginning of the season. Of course, much of it was predicated on us getting, you know, a fourth body in that position, which we now have with Saul. But I don't really care. As long as I think we should actually wrap Kante up in cotton wool and you ship him out for the big games. So, you know, Man City, Spurs, yeah, let's have him fit for that. I'm not worried about him not being available for the others because I actually beginning to think that he is now become a player where you do have to protect him in a way from himself. But he is still such a good player that you know. Do you know who it reminds me of? This is a very weird tangent in a way, but and I mean, of course, they're not alike in terms of players. But Paul McGrath, when he played for Man United and, funnily enough, Villa, he never trained because, you know, he was his knees had gone. But they
wasn't
used to
Ledley King the same.
Ledley King was the same, exactly. But you know, if when Paul McGrath played, he was usually the best player on the pitch. So I'm beginning to think we have to now really protect Kante a bit. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. And Tuchel said this last season, I think, that, you know, Kante has to be managed a bit. He's obviously had hamstring problems pretty much since, I think it was Baku, that was sort of the first sign that he was going to sort of play it on with an injury and has probably been suffering for it ever since. So, yeah, he does have to be managed. He's so naturally fit that I think you can probably just pick and choose his games and you're not going to cost, like in terms of a drop-off of performance from him because he is that good and that naturally fit. So I think this season we will see him rested a bit more than we have done previously. The signing of Saul does give Tuchel that fourth body. He spoke about that today in the press conference about... I think there was a very specific quote where he said, you know, Saul can give Jorginho and Kante a break in this team, which we all knew was needed. Tuchel obviously is far smarter than us, so he knew that as well. And yeah, I imagine we won't see Kante for the Zenits at home potentially, but we will see him at Manchester City when that game happens. So as long as he stays fit for every other game, potentially, that's probably going to be enough for Chelsea in terms of getting what they need from him.
Adam, what's the situation with Thiago Silva? Has he been banned for this rest of 5 days? What's that? I got so confused about what was happening there.
So the rather short version of this is that the Brazilian FA want Thiago Silva to miss the next 5 days because Chelsea didn't release him for international duty. So they've gone to the FIFA and said, you need to impose this. FIFA have gone, okay. There's been a lot of calls between the Premier League clubs affected and the Premier League, the FA and a certain other amount of people, federations and whatnot. At the moment, the honest answer is we don't know. Chelsea could play Thiago Silva tomorrow. There's a suggestion that all the Premier League clubs will kind of just ignore what FIFA are telling them and do it anyway. But there is a chance, and is a small chance, I'm sure, but there's a chance that Chelsea could essentially be handed a punishment where they lose the game 3-0 for playing Thiago Silva. So with that, even if it's a very small element to that, do you take that risk? I think that's probably the question that Chelsea have to ask themselves. Are they confident enough that if they play Silva, there'll be no recriminations? Otherwise, Aston Villa at home, you've got Andreas Christensen there. Is it worth the risk?
Yeah. I mean, so, I think given that we've got Rudiger, Christensen, Aspie, who can all play in central defence, and Trevor Chalobah, you know, do we need him? I'd say no.
So I say that will be the call Chelsea make. Is it worth the risk?
No.
Do they need him to play? Obviously, it would be nice for him to play because he's only played 45 minutes this season and he will need to be given a run at some point. But yeah, perhaps you don't risk it tomorrow. But we will see once the team sheets come in, I'm sure. That's probably only when we get final confirmation.
We will indeed. I just want to go back to Pulisic, in a minute, because, I mean, the question that occurs to me, Adam, is when do you kind of change from, well, it's just unlucky, to he's basically made of glass and is injury prone?
I mean, it's kind of circumstance of the way he plays, because he is quite late at releasing the ball. He does take on punishment. But then the flip side is so did Eden Hazard, and he managed to pretty much stay injury free throughout his whole Chelsea run. Obviously, since he's gone to Real Madrid, that's all turned around on him.
The Arjen Robben comparison, yes, is interesting because of his, yes, supposedly having glass ankles, and then his father then training him sufficiently for him to become one of the best players in the world. Mm. So I think you transfer Pulisic at your peril, or write him off at your peril. I think yeah, it may be that he learns to deal with it, or he doesn't. In which case, it'll be bye-bye, I think, because you can't have a player. Well, he won't get in the side. I think that it'd be interesting to see how Ziyech performs now that he's back in contention, because he was fantastic pre-season.
Mm. I think, as you say, Jake, Pulisic is 22. There are things he can work on, ways to improve himself, make his body stronger. It's just whether or not that's going to be enough to deal with what is still quite a physical Premier League. You know, it's a bit of a cliche to say the Premier League is far more physical than X, Y, and Z league, but I think what happens in the Premier League is referees do let a bit more go compared to other leagues, and Pulisic probably does take on a bit more punishment because of that.
And maybe the comparison, sorry, one sec, but just with Hazard, it may be, of course, playing in the Bundesliga actually gave him a rest from the kind of punishment that he was taking when he was playing in England. Robben. It may be that because it's not as physical in the Bundesliga, that's how it gave him that lease of life. It may be that. Mm. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Good point. Dane, I mean, something occurred to me. I mean, and you might be more on top of this than me, but I saw a bit of chat on our Discord group, a lot of Americans in there, and they were absolutely, you know, spitting about his injury. But more to the point, because the appalling pitches that they have to play on in that tournament, and they said it was like, you know, having to play on, you know, rolled up carpet, and they were thinking, well, you know, it's not surprising players like Pulisic get injured. And of course, as Adam was saying, and Jonathan to a degree, that his style of play is to dribble the ball, which does invite him, you know, getting hacked down. I just wondered if you had a perspective on that.
Well, I've never hidden the fact I'm part American. You know, I've had my eye on the national team.
Which since... part, Dane?
The ignorant part, the arrogant part.
You can't say that.
the confident part. I say ignorant in a positive, you know, you can be you can look at a positive and everything.
We've just lost half of our listeners in one fell swoop. That's good work, Dane.
But yeah, I've had my eye on the USA, you know, the qualifying ever since the late 80s. And yeah, the CONCACAF route is a tough group. When he first come onto the stage, he had big players to look after him, like you know, like Dempsey and Michael Bradley was in the team. Obviously, maybe names not known to a lot of
Clint Dempsey, great player, played for Fulham, played for Spurs.
Yeah, obviously, you know, maybe wonderful. Not, we don't mention the Spurs one, JK. We've ignored that. We've done well to ignore that, us fans. But yeah, he hasn't got a lot of protection now. He's got he's like more one of the more senior players. They still expect more. He's still a golden boy, you know. But he doesn't perform as well for USA as people actually expect. You know, one of the more important players is young Tyler Adams, who plays for Leipzig. But going back to USA, the CONCACAF pitches, we've always known it. You know, they play on absolutely terrible pitches over in certain parts of North America and South Africa. It's awful. And you're right, he doesn't seem very stocky. You know, whether that benefited Hazard and some of the hacks he had to put up with. Again, you know, sorry to go back onto the Twitter world, but yeah, you can't help because we're all on Twitter and you see all the comments on there and people want to write him off, people want to sell him, people want to call him glass. And I think we're just all worried because we know what this boy can do. He's multi-talented, and in the lockdown, when we was all playing behind closed doors, you know, he really turned on and was our best performer and scared the life out of Man City and Liverpool defences. So, you know, as Chelsea fans, we want that consistency and we'd just love to see that. And, you know, we're trying not to write him off. We're just worried, you know. Yeah. We'd prefer him in the team rather than not.
Totally right, Dane. I mean, I think he's a superb player. And, I mean, I think he was our best player that for that short period of time. And then he got injured in the cup final and it's not really been right since then. But I agree with JK. You write him off at your peril. The thing is, Adam, it's just another good reason all these injuries we picked up due to the international break or potential injuries, I would bin it tomorrow if I could, international football. I mean, what is the point? But there's a more salient, yeah, you know, not like me to be controversial at all, really, is it? But a more salient point was covered, I thought, quite well in the press conference. And again, as always, Tuchel spoke very eloquently on it. But it was really about the difficulty. I mean, I won't get into the whole World Cup thing, but that's not really for here. But the difficulty when these players come back so late from international breaks, he's going to have one day to train with them. And I just think that's insanity that clubs should have to put up with this, frankly.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially, you know, clubs at the end of the day who are paying the players the biggest money. Yeah, it's not ideal. So, of course, you said spoke very well on it. Enjoyed his, you know, this point about once they arrive here, I expect them to be fully focused and not complain about being tired. And you know, they play for Chelsea and they need to appreciate that. Carries a certain responsibility. I think it does influence the team he picks tomorrow, personally. I think he'll go with pretty much the tried and trusted. I don't think he'll be throwing Saul in, for instance. I don't think he'll probably be throwing in Timo Werner. I think we'll probably see similar to what started at Anfield. Obviously, with somebody to come in for Reece James because he is suspended. Personally, would like to see Callum Hudson-Odoi, especially given what happened in the final days of the transfer window with Tuchel blocking his move. That would be a nice moment for him. But in terms of having 24 hours, I think you've seen how well Tuchel's coached this Chelsea team, that it shouldn't have a huge impact, in my opinion. Chelsea should be able to go out and perform against Villa despite that. And especially as Villa are without their first choice goalkeeper and Emi Buendia, who's probably their creative force now, so should be all right.
Sorry, Dane, getting there.
I was just wondering if Adam thought that he might. I know you said you're going to go with the tried and tested, but you worry, don't you? Because it was only 48 hours ago that both Rudiger played 90 minutes, Jorginho played like an hour odd, and the previous night I think Dave Common a sub and Christensen played an hour. So it would be nice to see, like you said, Callum Hudson-Odoi in right wing back, but I was hoping maybe Chiloba might get a chance, but then that would be risky on that right side, wouldn't it, to have both them two there. So you think his egg is going to go tried and tested?
I think Dane. If he picks Chaloba, then I suspect Aspie will play the right wing back, not Callum Hudson-Odoi. But
yeah, that's what I'll think. If he goes that way, that's what I think he'll do.
I'd like to see Chaloba, but you're right. It'd be nice to see Callum as well, but we can't have it all. There's only 11 spaces.
Adam, can I ask you about the Barkley and Saar? And who's the other player? The other
Lewis Baker
being in the league squad. Is that because we failed to get deals for them, or is he actually contemplating them being taking part in the league season?
It's because they failed to get deals for them completely. had things worked out as Chelsea would have wanted, none of those three would be around. They would all be on loan or elsewhere permanently. The situation is the transfer market is tough, or was tough this summer, and there wasn't the money that potentially was around previously for these guys to find moves. Tuchel spoke a lot in the embargoed section about Ross Barkley. Really interesting stuff, which I can't actually talk about yet, but it'd be worth reading when it goes up on the Football London website.
I should be really interested. Wow, brilliant.
Tuchel spoke a lot about Barkley. I mean, the reality is, these guys will be, they've been given squad numbers, they've been registered in the squads. It makes sense from Chelsea's perspective, just in case there is an incredible run of injuries, or if there's a COVID outbreak or something like that, that you have these guys around and training with the first team. Out of all of them, to be completely honest, I'd love to see Lewis Baker just get a run out for Chelsea, just because how highly rated he was. And let's not forget, Jose Mourinho said that Lewis Baker should play for England when he was your kid. And the fact that he hasn't is because of a lot of different reasons. But out of the three of them, it'd be interesting to see what he could do.
He's 26, isn't he? 26 now, I think, Baker. Yeah,
he's been around a long time now without actually leaving permanently, which is kind of the opposite to what most of the kids young kids have done this summer, where they've wanted to make that break.
Yeah. Dane?
Yeah, I didn't mind Lewis Baker, actually, naturally both-footed. But I did have a question, if Adam had any inside info on Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I know, we sort of bleat on about it, and it's like the ex-girlfriend wishing her to come back, and it's a little bit of wishful thinking. But part of me, like before we was negotiating to get Saul, I thought, maybe it's another chance for Ruben. He could be that fourth midfielder. Heard some positives coming out about him, whether he was, they said he's similar to Ballack and Tuchel liked him. And anytime we see training videos, I know it's 30-second reels or whatever, he does look lively. I just wanted to know if you have any inside info on him, and if Tuchel likes him, and if he will be given a chance, or is it just like the other four, he's just there to make up the numbers?
I mean, I think from speaking to people around in pre-season, Ruben looked really good and impressed a lot of people, including Tuchel. But yeah, I think he's going to be in a situation where he'll be called upon probably for the Carabao Cup games, maybe for the old Champions League games later in the group. I don't envisage him starting a lot of Premier League games, for instance, or even making the bench or coming off the bench, sorry. Chelsea weren't actively looking to push him out the door, which is probably a bit different to Barkley, for instance, where they were very much open to offers if they came in. They was a bit more prepared to keep Ruben around, which is a positive. But you look at the competition in those attacking positions, and you look at the four midfielders that Chelsea now have, it's difficult to see him getting sustained minutes at any point, which, as you say, is a shame, because were it not for that Achilles injury he suffered in 2019, he could theoretically be an absolute star in this team at the moment.
Integral to us, wasn't he then? He was really...
Definitely. It's a very sad story, I think, because I think he was absolutely... I don't think he was just on the verge of breaking through. I think he had broken through, and then it all went very Pete Tong. Last kind of newsy type question for you tonight, Adam, which I think is, A, very interesting, and B, of great interest to a lot of the match-going supporters, particularly the real hardcore lot, and that's that Japan have pulled out of the Club World Cup, which means that, there was all sorts of conjecture about, well, we won't be able to go there because it's their restrictions are very draconian for, nobody went to the Olympics, for example. So that's good news, I think. But of course, it begs the question, where are they going to hold it? Do you have any idea yet?
I don't have any firm ideas. I've seen a couple of potential places mooted from different outlets, one being Qatar, the other one being South Africa, which, given what's going on COVID-wise, I don't know if that's the most sensible thing to be doing. But yeah, it seems it will be moved where it ends up being. Who knows? Qatar, if I can't remember what competition it is, Qatar actually holding an international tournament during November, December. Mm. So maybe that's not that feasible. But then it would be a good dry run for the World Cup, I guess. Mm. So
we'll see, won't we?
We will see. Yeah.
We will indeed. Final question for you, Adam. What do you think my column for Football London will be this week when I finally get to write it tonight?
Oh, God.
Given that I kind of moan a lot. That's a clue.
Could be about anything then.
That's great.
I deserved that, didn't I? I did. I'm going to moan about international football.
I was about to guess, actually.
Well, I'm sorry. We'll rewind and pretend I didn't say that. What do you think, JK?
Is it about the neighbour's dog?
No, that's right.
Is it about international football?
It is, JK.
Wow.
What a load of old arse gravy it is, and other things too. That won't be the title, incidentally. Maybe I'll go with Interminable Football or something. I don't know. Adam, as always, it's absolutely brilliant to see you. We do love having you on. And you're at the game tomorrow, are you?
Looking forward to it.
Okay, well, you never know. We might bump into you, but I'm looking forward to it. Have a good day there, and we look forward to seeing your embargoed piece on Ross Barkley tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
It's my wedding anniversary tomorrow. I am having to do lots of things to make up for the fact that I'm spending the entire day at Stamford Bridge tomorrow. That's for damn sure. But there you go. All right, mate. Lovely to see you. We'll see you again very soon, I hope. And until then, have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Enjoy the
game. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Well done.
Brilliant. Right, in a minute, obviously we go to part two and we've got the opposition view and we've got a Villa fan on and I will tell you more about this in a minute. Yes. Ooh. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow. Great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Ooh.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to Chidge and the Boys on the Chelsea Football Fancast. Total nutters and proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back to the Chelsea Fancast Friday night preview show. We've just had the wonderful Adam Newson from Football.London on telling us about the press of the today and very interesting it was too, and I've got with me, of course, the legend, as we've established a minute ago, Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Lovely to be on the show, Chidge. Thanks very much.
Always good to see you, my friend. And, of course, we've also got Dame Whittle.
Evening, everyone.
Lovely. Now, of course, as you should all know by now, it is time for this.
The Opposition View.
Yep, that's right. It's the opposition view. And as always, we've got a member of the opposition, not Her Majesty's opposition. There's a different kind of opposition because obviously we're playing Villa tomorrow. So we've got the lovely Justin Hawthorne from up the Villa. Hello, Justin. How are you?
Good evening, chaps. How are you? I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. I mean, we're very much looking forward to proper football being back tomorrow. We're not huge fans of all this disruption with international football. When you get going after three matches and then you have to start, it's really frustrating. So I'm really very up for tomorrow. But let's talk a little bit about Villa before we talk about the game tomorrow. I mean, the first and obvious thing I wanted to ask you, really. Yeah, you're chuckling.
I wonder what's coming.
Well, I'm not surprised. Exactly. How are you going to cope without the loss of John Terry? No, that's not the question. How are you going to cope with the loss of, you know, Jack Grealish? Because he was your best player by a country mile, wasn't he, when he was there? And he's proper Villa, right?
He is, yeah, and he was. Yeah, six-year-old lad, came through the ranks, supported him as a boy, family's massive Villa fans. Started off in the youth teams and worked his way up through every single level, excelled at every single level through to eventually making his debut for the first team. So as a football fan, as I'm sure you like, there's nothing better than seeing a homegrown product come through and play for the team, and not only a homegrown product, but a Villa fan to boot. So what a great experience he's been over the last few years, watching him develop into the player that he's become. Obviously, we've got a Villa fan as manager as well. So, you know, it's quite a unique situation we've found ourselves in over the last few seasons. Off the field stuff has obviously been very tumultuous over the last 10 years with owners and problems like that. But on the field, things have settled down a bit, and we really thought we were going to be pushing this season for, you know, up the league. So to lose him the way we have, whilst I suppose looking back now, it's not the most surprising of things to happen to Man City, but it has definitely given us, we've took a big knock from it, to be honest. I, at the start of the summer, wasn't expecting him to go. I didn't expect him to go. I did think the pull of playing for his hometown club and the way he spoke about the club would be the deciding factor. And unfortunately, it wasn't. As we all know in football, there's only one deciding factor, and that's the money. Well, and I think...
You know what, Justin? I know what you mean, and I think that's an easy assumption to make. But, you know, from all of the ex-players that I've talked to and know, the one thing that they all say is that when you get to a certain level, the money, it doesn't really matter, because wherever you're going to play, you're going to get paid well. It's actually medals. It's trophies. And I think a lot of the really, really top players, that's ultimately why they go, because they want to win trophies. I'm going to remind you of something that might make you really giggle here, because we've been doing a whole 50 years of Chelsea series. So we've been going from 1970 onwards, you know, when we were bored in the lockdown. And we got to the early 90s and we had a certain Andy Townsend playing for us, who was rather good for us, as it happened.
He was rather good for us as well.
Well, I know. And he went to you because apparently he wanted to go and win trophies.
Right. So well, I was just looking at the legend's back picture there of the old Stamford Bridge. And you know, I remember going to that ground.
I'm now the legend from now on.
The legend, yes.
You're going to have to go with that.
That's how I'm going to refer to you anyway for this segment. Thank you. Yeah, and I remember going back to those days, and Chelsea obviously wasn't the force that they are today due to Abramovich, obviously. You know, there was always, I always thought Chelsea was a decent club, a good-sized club, but you've obviously gone to the, you know, higher echelons now of European football, not just English football. But I do remember those days, and yeah, we were, you know, and are a big club in this country now. I think we can't really forget that. Villa have had a really, really tough 10 years, but I think most fans in this country would recognise us as one of the better, bigger sides in this country. You know, I do think that. And it wasn't that long ago, like you say, that we were taking players off Chelsea for a step up, you know, to Villa. Yeah. So things have changed a lot.
No, I would agree with that, Justin. I mean, you know, as you can tell, certainly me and JK are of a certain vintage, shall we say. So, you know, I mean, the great sides you had in 80 when you won the European Cup. But, I mean, Villa are a big club. There's no doubt about that.
Kenny Swain, one of my favourite
Kenny
players.
Kenny Swain, yeah, we used to love him, didn't we?
Showing your age now.
Yeah.
Happy to. The legend doesn't mind telling everybody.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to be honest. I think, you know, a lot of the newy sort of fans coming to the game, the young people, I think they do forget pre-Premier League era, and it's such a huge part of everything, isn't it? Of our culture, our history, of every club, you know. I think it's a shame to forget about those kind of days.
Totally right. Now, Okay, given that you lost Jack Grealish, how do you think the transfer window went for Villa? Are you quite happy about that?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, you know, Christian Purslow, another person we've got in common with you lot, I think he's always made out a very good point. He's a great speaker, that's for sure, that we have plans in place for all eventualities. And I think that they've obviously had to take into account that this could happen with losing Jack. I think initially in the window and early in the window, they had a certain idea of what they wanted to do, which is why they brought Buendia in quite quickly. I think at that point they were sort of thinking he would be in addition to keeping Jack. So I do wonder, and we don't know how much things changed once it became apparent that Jack was leaving. I think the Ings deal took everybody by surprise. That was sort of done without anybody knowing. That's not very often these days you see a deal like that just announced and nobody in the media or Twitter or Sky have got an inkling of it. And I think it was sort of given to us as a, you know, yes, you've lost Jack, but here you go, here's Danny Ings. I think he's worth more than that, to be honest. I think he deserves a bit more of a welcome to us.
Fine player,
yeah. So overall, I think we've done pretty good in the window. Buendia, Ashley Young come back on a free. He's always already proved his worth, you know, playing in multiple positions. Axel Tuanzebe, you know, has got a good track record with us. He was with us a couple of times on loan and got us promoted in that season. And Leon Bailey is the one really that I'm really looking forward to seeing. You know, we saw a brief glimpse of him at Watford away, and the people that went there, I know, were very impressed with him. You know, huge masses of pace and ability. So such a shame we've had such a stop start to the season with injuries and COVID and everything. You know, we haven't been able to get to see a lot of these players. And the players we've let go, we're all really, barring Jack, you know, squad players that are coming towards the end of their contracts or coming towards the end of the time at the Villa. Hourihan was a good servant for us, but he just wasn't going to play much. So, you know, Tom Heaton went back to Manchester United. Wesley, unfortunately, got a really bad injury and they've shipped him back out on loan now to Bruges to try and rebuild his career. But there's a chance he might come back, but I don't think many Villa fans probably think that could happen there. Overall, I think we've done pretty good given the difficult circumstances we had to deal with.
Okay. Dane, you wanted to pop in with a question?
Oh, yeah. It was funny. I wanted to go back to when Justin was talking about Grealish. I've got a really good friend who's a Villa fan and he just couldn't get when I was saying to him, but he's going to want trophies. He's going to want to move to bigger club. It's nothing against Villa. And like Justin, he was heartbroken. No, he said he would never move. He said he was a Villa boy. And it was just funny. It was exactly the same as Justin. I did have a question. It was actually about Bailey, but you've sort of answered it because at one point, you know, he was linked to us 2 or 3 years ago and we was being quoted 70 million, but you've literally answered that. So I've got another question for you. After the extremely successful loans of Drinkwater and Barkley, you didn't want another one of our players this season, though?
I think they say once bitten, twice shy, but we were bitten twice, I think. No, thanks. No, thanks.
We were saying, Justin, because we had about seven players who basically we know are never going to play for Chelsea again.
Yeah.
Who are just making up numbers. And we were saying, you know, buy one, get six free, you know.
Yeah, why not? So, definitely. You know, I think the way that Chelsea do it, though, it's a very interesting way of running a club, isn't it? You do seem to stack yourselves with lots and lots of players and then they all go out on loans and they either sort of thrive on them loans or they end up just getting sold on. But it does leave you with a lot of players on your books, doesn't it?
That's what happens when you have a lot of managers.
Well, yes, I suppose so. Constant
some
turnover,
of the youth
isn't
are
it?
Rebelling, though. Some of the youth are rebelling against this, and they're getting out. And that's what Liveramento has gone to Southampton, and the boy, the fullback, went to Southampton.
Liveramento,
Lamptey. No, Liveramento. I said Liveramento. No, Lamptey as well.
Lamptey
went to Brighton. To Brighton. Another very good player because they see there's no possibility.
That's slightly different, JK. Because I think in the case of Lamptey and Liveramento. You know, the irony there was that their pathway was blocked by a fellow academy graduate.
Yeah, true.
Which has actually never really happened to us before, has it?
No, absolutely. Again, Reece James.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, was the idea, the chairman's letter, I think, when he said he was selling Grealish, that the idea he was going to actually buy four players, which is always one slightly despairs of whether they spend the money wisely. So who were the four players that have come in? For the money that you got for Grealish?
I don't think it was necessarily a four-player deal thing kind of thing. I think he was just sort of alluding to the fact that you can't replace Jack Grealish with one player. We've said, you know, I've said this amongst our group of friends and people I talk to on the U2V podcast we do. he's that you can't replace a player like him. There's not another Jack Grealish, in my opinion, in world football, as much as he's hurt me. And you know, I'm gutted he's left.
No, I agree completely. Enough,
there's not another one. Yeah, he's one of very few people that you know. So you can't replace him as a whole. No, and to be honest, £100 million, who are you going to replace with? Neymar, Messi? You know, you're talking of the highest quality of player. So we had to sort of think a bit outside the box. I think that what they said was Bailey's got the pace and the trickery. Buendia's a good number 10. Ings is a goal scorer. So you're trying to sort of replace, improve the squad, if you like, rather than improve a position, which is what, you know, ultimately Jack took up one position in the pitch. So by improving the players around him in the area of attacking wise, hopefully we're going to, which I think we probably have, going to take a while to see it, I think, given the problems we're currently facing. But I think we definitely have improved on the squad, which is all they could have done really in the circumstances.
So it's essentially just the three that have come in that you think are all...
I think there was a lot of talk about another sort of attacking player which never materialised for whatever reason. I don't know what happened there. I think we all expected maybe another number 10 type player to come in, but that didn't happen. So, you know, I think there is a bit of money still in the bank. So January, whilst not a great time to do business, you know, we could... And we've got a lot of... Just talking about young players, you know, we have got a pathway at Villa now. We've spent 18 months hoovering up a lot of the best young talent, not just from this country, from Europe, and we're starting to see that pay a little bit of dividends now. With, I don't know if you know much about Carney Chukwuemeka, you know, we've got the two Ramsey brothers in the under-21s for England, we've got Jaden Philogene-Bidense, who's a very good winger. We played against Wickham a couple of weeks ago in the League Cup and we've done really well, you know, so we've got a lot of them gone out on loan. You know, we took Louis Barry from Barcelona and he's now out on loan at Ipswich. So I think they are trying to show this pathway through to the first team. You know, it's something that I think Villa have gone big on. Whilst you've got to keep your eye on the first team, make sure that stays at a level. Yeah. I think we like to see that these kids have got a chance.
Indeed. Dane?
Oh, yeah, totally understandable, you know, how much praise and you know, Justin's eyes lights up. His face lights up like a Christmas tree when he talks about Grealish. So I just wanted to know how you felt the last 2 weeks watching him. You know, do you see him as like he's still one of your boys? You know, you still want him to do well? Like Man City have only literally like got him on loan. He'll always be yours. Or was it hard watching him the last couple of weeks?
Devastated. Truly devastated. I've never had such a connection with a footballer at Villa in my lifetime. I'm 45 now. I've followed him all my life. Basically, the way Southgate treated Jack at the Euros ruined the Euros for me, because every game I sat there thinking, why aren't you playing him? He's your best player. Play him. You know, we did well. We got to the final. But in my opinion, we could have got to the final easier.
We should have won it.
And yet 6 weeks later, he's gone to Man City and all of a sudden he's good enough to be in that team. It's so frustrating, you know, but Southgate in England's another matter. I think a lot of Villa fans have had to really wrestle with their consciousness over the Jack Grealish thing. I think we're all absolutely devastated he went, and a lot of them have. I think the problem he's having now is he's coming out and the sound bites he's giving to the press and the interviews he's doing, the one he did for England has gone down very badly with the Villa fans, because he's sort of saying that he's making out now that Villa was always a stepping stone for him, and we saw it differently. We saw the way he was with Villa and the way we thought he had the connection with Villa. That wasn't the case, but it's becoming quite apparent really that he just saw Villa as a stepping stone, and that's a shame really, because
it's not like the old Joe Cole Liverpool moment where he's literally being told what to say.
Yeah, I think Jack's, you know, he's got people around him, and I think he needs to get better people around him, if I'm honest, because I think you can big up Man City and you can be very, you know, positive about what you're doing and the decision you've made without throwing the Villa under the bus. Yeah. That, you know, is his club. That's how I see it. Yeah. I think it's disappointing the way he's coming out, and it's going to take a lot. It'd be very interesting when they turn up at Villa Park, the reaction he gets.
Yeah, there's an interesting parallel there, Justin, because of course, you know, JT went to Villa on the coaching staff, and from what I understand, I mean, you know, I should ask you really rather than just presume, but my understanding is that actually the Villa fans really quite liked him there and they thought highly of him. And yet, you know, he was never, ever going to make any bones about the fact that he's a Chelsea boy, Chelsea fan and all of that.
No.
But that wasn't a problem for you guys, right?
Not at all, no. I think he came to Villa and had a year at the end of his career, which in the Championship we absolutely loved. you know, I feel quite proud that he's only ever played for two clubs. I know he had a brief loan somewhere when he first started.
Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. So I'm very proud that a player of his stature has got two clubs basically on his CV, and one of them's us, you know. And I think he did have a really good affinity with the fans, to be honest. You know, I think it went down very well. It helps that he was the player that he was and the leader that he was, you know, it helped us immensely. And then I think we were quite chuffed when he decided to come back, and I didn't think he'd hang around as long as he did, to be honest, on the coaching staff. I thought he'd have 12 months, 18 months. And I think he has had a lot of offers, but I think he wanted to really, I think he liked Dean Smith. He liked the way for to do things. He could see the trajectory we were on with the owners. And I think it's done him good to hang around. And I think it was good what he did in the summer, deciding to sort of walk away so he didn't leave us in the lurch halfway through the season. So I've got nothing but good things to say about John Terry. I wish him all the best. And he was never, ever going to be anything other than a stopgap for him. But we knew that from day one. So that's the difference.
Yeah, true enough.
Is your attitude towards Grealish now slightly a negative one in the view of the fact he's made these remarks? Because when Pat Nevin left us in the 80s, I hated him. I made no bones about it, you know.
I think hate's a hard thing to say because he's a Villa fan and you know, I don't want to throw him under the bus. I'm really disappointed in what happened and how he's talking about us now. And I hope maybe in a few years' time he'll have a different way of thinking. But, you know, my thoughts about Jack was he was going to be a Totti for us, you know, and Totti's great quote, you know, one title at Roma is worth 100 at Real Madrid. And I always thought that, and I still think to the day he can rack up as many titles as he wants at Man City, but sitting watching us win one thing, if he won one thing with us, it would mean more to him, in my opinion, than winning 20. Because I could go to Man City and sign for them. I'm 45-year-old, overweight man, and you know, I could go and you know, win trophies at Man City. It's not difficult, is it, in the current season?
I think that's a really good point about Totti. And by the way, no more questions about Grealish, because I think I'll have to offer Justin a three therapy session after this if we keep going on about Grealish. But Totti's a really good point. I don't know if everybody's seen this, but if you haven't, check it out, particularly if you're over here, because I suppose it's easier to see it. But there's a fantastic documentary about Francesco Totti that was on Sky Documentaries, which was, it was all in Italian, so it was subtitled. It was absolutely brilliant. If you ever want to know,
phenomenal.
Yeah, you know what it's like to play for one club and be that kind of a player. I just sat there transfixed by it. But anyway, we digress. Right, your early season form going into this match. I mean, you drew at home to Brentford last time out, who are a bit of an unknown quantity for everybody, really, aren't they? You beat Newcastle 2-0, which I would have thought was expected. And you kind of somewhat crazily lost to Watford in the first match of the season. So I suppose it's been mixed is probably the easiest way to put it.
Absolutely. I think this sort of ties in with the summer we had running into the season. And I think a lot of clubs are finding this. You're having to do your pre-season in the season, because you know, we were so disjointed. We had a couple of games called off COVID. I mean, I was supposed to be going down on the Saturday before the season started to play an Italian. I think it was Fiorentina. I can't remember now who it was, but anyway, they pulled out on the Friday night because of COVID. So they had a training session instead on the Saturday, and then managed to drag in some Italian club I'd never heard of on the Sunday, and we had another game called off. So it was all over the place, really. You know, Martinez. When the you know, players were off on international duty, Grealish at the time, obviously, we thought he was staying with us. Mings was off and McGinn was out. So, you know, we have had a really, really tough summer and a very disjointed summer because it was all about Jack, you know. So, you know, he went and then we had to sort of think, right, OK, the season starts soon. But and then we had players missing. Bailey came in, and although he was on the bench, he seemed to have been carrying an injury, so he's been missing ever since. And I think we went into that game underprepared, really, which is a shame because, you know, looking at the fixtures, you know, they're three games. I was hoping we could get off to a flyer like we did last year, especially given the month we've got now. I was hoping we could have a really good game run up to these games and give us a real nice cushion to have a go at the yourselves, Chelsea, and then we've got Man United coming up. We've got yourself again in the League Cup as well. So it's a shame that we're so sort of not underprepared, but we're just, I don't know, we're undercooked and we're not quite... It's going to take a while, I think.
That's a good way of putting it, I think, Justin. So, talking about the game tomorrow, you know, I mean, I know you've got Martinez and Buendia out, which I think is a big loss for you. They're very, very good.
Martinez is, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's a top, top keeper. So, that being the case, I mean, who are you likely to pick, and how, you know, what are the biggest threats that you can bring to the table to Chelsea, do you think, on Saturday?
It's a difficult one because Dean Smith is a tried and trusted 4-3-3 man, and he's played that practically the whole time at the Villa. And I think that, trying to keep repeating it, but now Jack has gone, we are going to have to try and find other ways to play. And that's why I was saying earlier about bringing in these players in the attacking positions, that we're going to have to try and work out a different way of it was always give it to Jack and he'll make something happen. And we have got very good, that's not to disregard the players we've got around him, because Ollie Watkins is fantastic, we've got John McGinn's fantastic, we've got some very good players. But I do think, I wonder whether he is going to throw a formation change in tomorrow, which I think wouldn't be the end of the world. So, you know, you sort of stick rigidly to this 3-4-2-1, is it now, that he does, which in the old days was wing backs and 5-3-2, but it seems to be a 4-3-4-2-1, I think, now you play. So I wonder whether, you know, with Ings and Watkins now both available and fit, it would be prudent now to stick those two up front with sort of our attacking players not quite being ready. Buendia is not there. I'm not sure Bailey's ready to start. Traore, who you know obviously from being at Chelsea, I'm not sure he's ready to start. So given the players that are available tomorrow, I do wonder whether he might go with a, it's totally just my thought process really, because he does stick very rigidly to 4-3-3, which will probably happen tomorrow. But I do wonder whether it could be worth, you know, going five at the back, and we've got Cash and Target and Young that can play that wing-back role. We brought Twan Zabi in, so we've got three good centre-halves. You know, Cons is a phenomenal talent. Mings, you know, is a great centre-half. We've got, you know, midfielders. Louise hasn't quite got up to the level yet, but I'm hopeful for him. McGinn's fit again because he missed the Brentford game. And Ramsey, you know, a kid that's coming through, is a very good footballer. And then go with the two up front and just sort of try and sit tight and hold as much as we can. Not be negative, but just be you know, clever, really. You know, Chelsea are a huge threat. They're, for me, the title favourites this season. And we covered it on our previous show on the UTV podcast this week. And we all said that we fancy Chelsea to win the league. So it's going to be a tough task for us tomorrow.
Yeah, what worries you about Chelsea?
Two people. One is Lukaku, which is the obvious one, because he's come back a totally different sort of player than when he left. He's almost the complete striker now, isn't he? He can do everything. And your manager, to be honest, Tuchel, you know, he worries me because he's so tactically astute. You know, what he's done with Chelsea, I mean, you look at what Lampard, he's almost had practically the same set of players that Lampard has when he turned in within 6 months.
Two players that Lampard banished, brought them
back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's turned you into European champions and serious title contenders within 6 months. So he worries me because, you know, he's got everything up there, hasn't he? And he's, you know, Smith is still quite a new manager to this level. You know, 3 years in the Premier League, that's all he's had. I think he's a good manager, a very good manager, and I pray that he can improve, which he's doing season on season. But we've just got to be very clever tomorrow and make sure we don't, I mean, the Watford game shows is if you're not on it against anybody in this league, you can be 2 or 3 goals behind before you start. So against someone like Chelsea with the threat that you carry, we've got to be very clever, really, tomorrow and make sure, you know, and we've got a new set-piece coach as well, which seems to be the new fashionable thing. So we've already seen that pay dividends with I think Danny Ings has been given the Premier League goal of the month for the first month of the season with overhead kick. And that was from this new set-piece coach. So I'm hoping we can maybe nick something from a set-piece, or with Ings and Watkins up front, if we can get enough of the possession, then, you know, with those two up front, you always fancy ourselves to nick a goal.
Yeah.
Justin, will Ashley Young play, do you think?
Probably not. I don't know, to be honest, because he's been in and out with Target, but he's played in about 4 positions so far this season. I think there's an interesting stat for the Villa that we've played, 21 players have played so far for us in 3 games, and it took till February last year for us to play 21 players. So that just shows you the amount of players we've got missing and the upheaval we've had to deal with. So we could do with a settled run of games and the team, really, but you know, we've got to ease players back in.
Interesting stuff. I'm gonna get a prediction out of you in a minute, but before I do that, Justin, you know, what are your expectations for Villa this season? Because I mean, there's been a lot of talk of them maybe pushing for a European place this year if things go well. Would you agree with that?
Again, we wasn't going to carry on talking about him, but it's relevant because pre-Jack going, I was adamant that we could have a real push for Europe this season. I think we showed a lot of people last season what a good team we were. And I thought that pre-buying anybody, if we keep Jack, keep the nucleus of the squad together, add some really good players, I thought there's no reason why we couldn't push sixth, seventh, maybe even higher with a, you know, fair win behind us. But we've had to reassess, I think, now, because we, you know, I think we finished 11th last season. I think most Villa fans, I don't talk for everybody, obviously, but they would be happy now with their sort of, I think, ninth, eighth or ninth, tenth, you know, mid-table, and just keep everything calm now and bed all these new players in and sort of go again next season and really have a go then.
I think if you look at what West Ham have done, you know, which in a way, I mean, I'd say that Villa are a bigger club than West Ham, but I would imagine similar in some circumstances, because, well, I'm not just because they play in claret and blue, but, you know, because, you know, you've both had spells out of the Premier League, you know, yeah. But you've got a good fan base, all this kind of stuff. But I think West Ham have showed with a really good experienced manager who, let's face it, not enough people really rated, you know, and some shrewd purchases when you can do it within the budget that you have, because you can't compete with the likes of us, City, Liverpool and United in terms of the kind of players you can buy. I mean, that's obvious. But yeah, you can still actually do really, really well. And I think West Ham are probably at the moment a shining beacon for a lot of other clubs. And I would include, you know, Villa in that, you know, because I think you're a bigger club than them. And I think you could do that with some shrewd management.
Yeah, I agree. I think West Ham is an interesting one. And I think there's always a team that comes out of the middle pack and does really well when you suddenly get two or three. I mean, they've got Declan Rice, they've got some really good young players coming through. And they bought well last season with Kafal and Souček, didn't they? Who settled immediately in the Premier League. And if you do get a bit lucky, I know it's not luck, you buy players on scouting and you look at these players, but I don't think anybody expected them to have the impact they did at West Ham. And then obviously the addition of Lingard in January just catapulted them to you know, almost, you know, ridiculous positions, didn't they? Top four. Yeah. But they'll have the problem that we've got. Until you do break into that top four, and then the likes of your Declan Rice's just become, you know, targets for the top four. So it's a real difficult thing to break into nowadays. You know, we've got to try and hold our best players and push up the league as quickly as we can. Because if you don't, you know, if West Ham finish seventh this season, eighth, then Declan Rice leaves, doesn't he? He goes to wherever. And,
well, you know, Chelsea, hopefully, Justin. That would be nice.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, and it's the unfortunately, it's just the way of the world in the Premier League. You know, we've been picked off this summer, and as annoying as it is, we want to be that position of picking the players off, because if we suddenly catapulted ourselves to second and then won the league in 3 or 4 years' time, then we'll be the ones that are picking off the better players from mid-table clubs. It's just the way the football works.
Well, and as you rightly pointed out earlier, it's the way it's always been. I mean, we JK and I and Dane all know what that's like, because it used to happen to us unfailingly and regularly, but it goes in
cycles, doesn't it? Man United did it. Well, Liverpool did it, didn't they?
Yeah.
They used to hoover up the best talent from England and Scotland. Then Man United took over and they did it. Then Abramovich rocked up at Chelsea and he did it. And now
Arsenal,
you know,
Arsenal
Man City
did it as well, actually.
Arsenal did it to an extent. I don't think they did it to the extent that Abramovich and probably and Man City are doing it. But they did definitely, because they were at that top, they could cherry pick the players, can't they?
Always happens, whoever the top clubs are, I'm afraid.
Yep.
All right, my friend. It's been really good to talk to you. I've really enjoyed it tonight. Very interesting stuff. How do you see it going? What's the prediction going to be for tomorrow?
Well, on our Up the Villa podcast one on the week, would you believe, for the first time ever, I predicted a loss. I'm a very positive Villa fan, and I have never, ever predicted, even if I felt like it was going to happen, I could never get the words out of my mouth. and I even texted Luke and Ryan, who I did it with after, as soon as it came off air, and I just said, I feel like I've cheated on my wife now. So I was devastated. I said it, but you know, that's just my strength at the moment. I feel that's not to say I don't think we can beat you, because anybody can beat anybody, and I think we've got a chance. But as the team news has come out today, I'm going to change my mind and say we're going to nick a draw tomorrow, a 2-2 draw.
You're entitled to change your mind, Justin. That's, I wish I could do that. We've got a Premier League predictions league, and I'm languishing in the bottom of it pretty much.
Oh dear!
And I wish I could change my mind, but no, fair enough.
The legend is propping up the rest.
Can we change your name then? No. The has been legend.
Jonathan Bottom of the League kid is what he should change it to.
Dare I ask what your three predictions were?
And well, we would love to tell you, but you'll have to listen to the show because we give ours right at the end of the show.
We don't want to be offensive.
I'll tune in later. We're too polite and nice and kind. But no, I mean, a two-all draw. I mean, why not? You know. But the other thing I should say, Justin, actually, thank you to you and Ryan in particular, because I really enjoyed writing that piece for you and your website this week. It's just quite nice writing.
Yeah, it's gone down. It's gone out today and it's gone down really well. Ryan does a lot of good work. You know, we started only 12 months ago. Just three Villa fans really just wanted to put some content out, and it's grown really, really well. Luke's idea, who I work close by with in Sutton Coldfield, and we love doing it like yourselves do, you know, talking about the club you love and the passionate of, you know, football is fantastic. I could talk all night, you know, and I've loved this. And it's UTV podcast. So if any Chelsea fans are listening, we did a really good preview show like yourselves are doing. It's only about 25 minutes long. And it was all very complimentary, let's say like that. So I think given where Mr. Jack's gone, we all are hoping and praying that you can win the league this season.
Well, there you go. Brilliant stuff. Well, Justin, it's been a real pleasure having you on. And I hope we get either you or Ryan back when we go up and see you, which I don't know when that is, actually. It's probably sometime in the new year, isn't it? I would have thought, Joe.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
We're not previewing the Carabao Cup match, are we, Chief?
No, because it's on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, and we might mention it, because obviously we've got a Monday show, but we can't do one with a guest.
No, that's the thing. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Do you think you'll go, just quickly, do you think you'll go weaker in that competition?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Completely different team.
But I mean, right. The thing is, though, Justin, is we've got, I mean, even last year, people were saying we probably had the second best squad in the league to City, because the squad depth was really, really good. And you could say it's better this season.
When I said weaker, I said that with inverted commas, but you can't hear that.
Understood.
We actually play you again on Boxing Day, 26th of December. Ooh. Villa Park.
Well, so. I'll have to think about the scheduling for that one, because that's always tricky around Christmas. But hey, we'll see what we can do. It'd be lovely
Christmas
to get you back.
Day podcast, Chidge?
Yeah. No problem. Anytime, I'm always available.
You want me to get divorced, don't you, Dane? It's not happening. Justin, it's been really lovely having you on, and thanks very much for the contribution. Hopefully, we'll get you back. And I kind of would wish you. Well, I can't wish you good luck for tomorrow, but I can certainly wish you good luck for the rest of the season.
No, I don't wish you good luck for tomorrow, but I'm sure you'll understand that. But
I
hope you pip. If anybody's got to pip them to any titles this season, I hope it's you.
Lovely. That's very good of you. Good stuff. Lovely stuff. There you go. Justin Hawthorne from Up the Villa podcast and website and all sorts of good things there. Really, really good stuff. We will be back.
Hello, mate.
We will be back after this very short break, and we'll be giving you our preview of the game.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back to the Chelsea Fancast Friday night preview show with me, Stanford Chidge, and him down there, Mr. JK, the legend.
Love to be on the show. Yes, the legend. Can we get rid of this? Change the legend. Can we stop this?
I think you've. Do you know what? I almost heard you in a play today.
Oh, what, the Charles Paris one?
Was it on Radio 4? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I turned the radio on. I was about to go off for my lunchtime swim. Turned the radio on because I was very lazy today. I drove it's a 10-minute walk, but I was in such a flap. I turned the radio on, and they're giving the credits. And Jonathan Kidd. What? Jonathan's
Bernard,
on a plane.
Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard.
Played by Jonathan
Bernard.
Kidd.
That's right.
Bernard was a very large Cockney stage door manager, asthmatic stage door manager.
Okay.
So it was a boat like that. That's what I played him like. You know.
Like the bloke that's at the ground next to you. You often do that voice for the old codger at the ground.
No, that's the old codger's voice that. It's slightly different.
Anyway, Brian Justman on Mixler has said you're a legend of the fan bite. And I think that is absolutely true.
You've
made that your own and then some. Have you got any ideas for this for tomorrow? Are you doing it solo or have you got somebody on?
I'm bringing Alex.
So we're going to get Alex on, are we?
I hope so. I'm going to ask her, see what she says.
She might not be up for that.
Might not be up for it, in which case I'll do it again.
Okay.
Do you want to meet me? Do you want to meet me, Chidge?
Well, I think it'd be much better if you had Alex on. And I think, as you said earlier on, the whole point about it was to spread
Absolutely.
It around. You
spread
know?
It around.
I had my Absolutely. Go. My go will come round again. So
Dane, you must do one with me as well.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely, yeah.
And as Jonathan rightly says, we've also got Dane Whittle on. Me and John prattling on there. I mean, ridiculous. And anyway, we've got Dane Whittle. How are you, Dane?
Yeah, evening. Yeah, how good was Justin from Upper Villa podcast? We just off saying off air how brilliant it was talking to him.
He was
really
indeed.
Really nice.
Now, I've got some kind of parish notices here. First of all, is the lovely If She Don't Come, who's in Mixlr tonight, listening to this live. He says, I'm sat at home battling COVID, rough as a badger's bottom. Thankfully, you guys are on to cheer me up. Well, I'm glad to hear that we're here to cheer you up, mate. But I'm very, very sorry to hear that you've got COVID and you are, in fact, as you say, rough as a badger's bottom. I hope you get through it quick and you don't feel as rough as I know some people have. So we're all thinking of you and sending positive vibes.
Are badger's bottoms rough?
Yes, that's why you use them as shaving brushes.
Well, the shaving brush is a badger's. It's hair from the bottom.
Yeah. Well, how do you know where it's from? Could be from anywhere, couldn't it?
Well, exactly. So why would the bottom particularly be the bottom?
I think it's probably more bristly.
What hair in your arsehole? Oh, God.
No, I didn't. No. Well, the bottom's more than just your ring piece, mate, isn't it?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Around it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Right, I've got some more parish notices. The first of all is this is just brilliant. Another brilliant book from Gate 17, which, as you know, is the publishing company run and owned by Mr. Mark Worrell, a member of this very fine podcast. And it is Blue Hitmen, Chelsea's 25 Greatest Goals. And it's by Paul Radcliffe. It's got a foreword by Kerry Dixon. And a limited edition version of the book signed by Paul and Kerry will be available from the CFC UK stall tomorrow at £10. And the standard paperback and ebook versions are also available on Amazon. Kerry's forward is individual moments. Well, I think his forward is more than this, but a quote from it is individual moments of genius in your memory bank, goals that make you proud to have witnessed them. And he scored a few, let's be honest. There have been many brilliant and significant goals scored in Chelsea's gloriously unpredictable history. That's how you know it's a Gate 17 publication, because it has the words glorious unpredictability. They quite often appear in Gate 17 publications. And in Blue Hitmen, lifelong supporter Paul Radcliffe details and ranks the 25 strikes he believes to be the greatest. From a thunderbolt penalty at a pack Stamford Bridge in 1955 to a magnificent Premier League triumph 50 years later. From a goal that may have kept the Chelsea FC in existence to a strike that helped put the club in the International Billionaires League. Fantastic European triumphs against some of the biggest teams in the world with brilliant goals from Chelsea superstars. Great hitmen are listed as we explore wonderful goals from different eras, looking for what makes a strike special. Sometimes it can be the sheer emotion of the day, like Chelsea's return to the old First Division at Highbury, roared on by 20,000 Blues fans. Who would you choose? Football is about opinions. And Blue Hitman takes us back to some memorable games. So there you go. Now, talking of the CFC UK stall, many of you might have remembered from when we used to go to the football in the good old days before COVID struck, that the Chelsea Supporters Trust would often have a food bank collection for the local people in Hammersmith and Fulham who are struggling, you know, with their food and shopping bills. So I'm glad to say it's back for the first time in 17 months. It's going to be at a new place, though. It's not going to be at the CFC UK store. It's going to be at the gates of the Oswald Stoll Mansions, which, of course, is adjacent to Stamford Bridge on Fulham Road. So if you can find your way to, you know, nipping into the local Sainsbury's or something on the way and getting a quick bag of food. They're very specific about what they need, though. And, of course, their needs, as you can imagine right now, are greater than ever. So donations of long life juice and milk, tinned fruit, meat, tinned meat, that is, tinned vegetables and tinned fish and instant coffee would be especially welcome. So if you can find a way to do that before the match tomorrow, you will be greatly appreciated by one and all. One of the best things that the Supporters Trust does, in my humble opinion. Finally, I'm trying to think if we've got any more. I can't remember how many parish notes we've got. Yes, this is the last one, I promise you. Right, this is a brilliant one. Right, this week, you know, we do a kind of a prize draw with football prizes. Yes, indeed. Well, this week's competition is an absolute cracker. We've got a signed and framed Didier Drogba shirt in this week's Football Prizes draw. Tickets are £5.95 each, and the draw ends next Wednesday, so 15th of September. And to enter, you go to footballprizes.co.uk/product/Drogba. And there are only 99 tickets available. So don't dally on this. Get on it right now and get entered into the draw to win a signed and framed Didier Drogba shirt. Now, I have to say, JK, I'm not usually very good at doing these things, but do you know what the huge irony is? I've got two shirts, right, from the era that Drogba played in for Chelsea.
Yes.
And I've got pretty much every signature of every decent player who played for us around that period. I'm talking 2012-13, around that kind of time. But do you know who's missing?
Let me guess.
Guess.
Didier Drogba?
Didier Drogba, because he was not there at the training ground both the times that I went. So I'm missing him. I'm tempted to enter this, actually, although I've got absolutely fuck all space to put it on any bloody wall at all. But, I mean, it's a goodie, so I'm up for that. Anyway.
If it's a goodie, you could take another one down and put
it. No, I can't, actually, because all of my memorabilia is in this office. And as you can see, the walls are sloped. So actually, to put the my memorabilia, they're all on the sloped wall, so I've had to four-screw them in.
Yes.
They ain't coming out, mate.
No, mate.
Because it's all plasterboard.
Put one on the floor and just don't walk on it.
Yeah, but that's a very silly idea, Jonathan. Very silly idea.
The idea that a legend would give you.
It is, really. Okay, right, we've got to preview the Villa game now, which I'm really looking forward to, because as I said earlier on, I'm just delighted that we've got football back for the flaming international football that we've had to put up with the last couple of weeks. And I think you'd probably agree, JK, and I know this because you love to start off with this, whether I've scripted it to start off with or not. But I think this week of all weeks is absolutely pertinent to start off with the team selection. And I have gone with the following, which is, as you know, it's a kind of a mixture of what I want and what I think Tuchel will do. All right? So Mondi is our goalkeeper. Mondi, Rudiger, Christensen, because we know Silva's probably not going to play. I've gone for Azpilicueta at right central defence, but I would have the caveat that maybe Chalobah could play there, and he might play. Tuchel might play Chalobah and Azpilicueta as the right wing back, but I think that's what I would probably go for. Alonso, because still, you know, he's yet to be proven that he's not worth his place, and Chilwell just hasn't really had the matches, so I still think Alonso will get it. Jorginho and Kovacic, I think, will start. We know Kante is out, and I don't think he's going to start Saul. Saul might come on after about 60, 65 minutes in my book. So I think he starts with what he knows, because Tuchel tends to do that. Jorginho and Kovacic in the midfield. I think Hudson-Odoi on, you know, as our right wing back. And I think the point you made earlier on about that, which is, you know, having made that stand and blocked his way out, maybe this is an opportunity for him to pay a bit of that back. And then up front, obviously Lukaku, because we know he's fit. Obviously Mount, because Mount always starts, or usually always starts. And then I originally went with Werner, because I thought that Havertz might be suffering a bit from his flu that he picked up while he was away. But I gather he played for Germany on Wednesday. So I could see, you know, let's be honest, our preferred front three is Havertz, Mount and Lukaku, if they're all fit. So if Havertz is fit, I think he'll start with Havertz. But if Havertz isn't fit, I think he'll start with Werner, just to see how that works. Because Werner, of course, got three goals for Germany, didn't he, in the last couple of weeks? So maybe his confidence might have come back. So that's what I think. What do you think, JK?
I agree with you completely, Chich. And I was intrigued to hear his explanation, Tuchel, of why Chilwell wasn't playing. Of course, the Twitterati all went, you know, he hates him and he's going to transfer him, and what's wrong with him and is he run out of form? And he just explained Alonso was in a better position, came back earlier, had more legs in him, as he put it. And also he said, he's playing fantastic, as he said. Tuchel actually said that, and he is. And I can honestly say that Alonso's played absolutely out of his skin. He's taken the opportunity brilliantly, revealing a side of him from a skill point of view that I don't think we've seen since under Conte. And I'm so pleased for him, because I think he's one of the best strikers of a ball for a defender we've ever had, that I've ever seen playing for Chelsea in my long years. And I'm very fond of him as a player indeed. I'm very pleased for that he's managing to improve his all-round game. But I think he'll play Odoi, especially for that reason. I think he'll play Dave Wright, centre back.
And I don't think Werner will get in. I think Werner will get in the Carabao Cup. I think he'll play a very different side. But I also think that I think he might play Ziyech instead of Havertz if he doesn't play Havertz. But I think he might get the nod ahead just for Lukaku, for giving the delivery to Lukaku. But I think he'll play Havertz as you suggested. I think he'll play the same three up front that he's played all season so far. Jorginho and Kovacic, because Kovacic, whenever he's come on, has played out of his skin. And Jorginho, other than a couple of errors against Liverpool, was similarly masterful, particularly in the defensive effort that they made in the second half, which was tactically brilliant. So, yeah, I think it's going to be very similar to the side that you said. In fact, the same as the side you said, Chidge.
Okay. What do you think, Dane?
Yeah, I was just writing it down quickly. You know, I know Tuchel's been a massive shouter for, you know, five subs. You know, every time he's mentioned players who can't play, JK was talking about Alonso. What I liked about Tuchel talking about Alonso, he clearly wasn't closing the door on Chilwell. He was praising Chilwell.
No, indeed, absolutely.
Plus,
absolutely.
He was also saying, well, if I was allowed five subs, you know, it is a benefit.
He'd give him a
clubs.
Go.
It's not even. He said it's also a benefit for lower league clubs because he said the lower teams were complaining. It's a benefit to the higher clubs. So I'm thinking, obviously, he can only make three subs, so he can't change it too much. Otherwise, you know, I'd like to have. I think he's definitely going to play Ziyech. You know, he's had Ziyech with him for 2 weeks while other players have played a lot of football. Usually, they go away for two matches. They went away for three matches. That's a long time. And I also think Callum Hudson-Odoi will be in there somewhere. I think it's harsh in playing right wing back, but I just don't know if he will take the risk playing in behind Lukaku, Ziyech and Callum Hudson-Odoi. And going back to Saul, I think Saul will get a few minutes and he will make a full debut on Tuesday against Zenit. Is it Tuesday?
Yeah, it is. Interesting stuff. I mean, the one thing I would add to that about Werner was that, you know, Tuchel's not an idiot, and I think he was really speaking platitudes, but somebody asked, it might have been Olivier Bazaglo, asked him about Werner, would he play Werner with Lukaku? Because as we were all saying before the start of the season, you know, Werner likes to play with a big chap next to him. And actually, Tuchel confirmed that he said, what did he call it? A reference. Lukaku is a reference. And Werner likes to play with a reference, and Lukaku is our reference. So it's in his mind, but he wasn't going to commit as to whether and when it would happen. But I have to say, at some stage of the season, I would like to see how that might work. How you know, maybe playing 3-4-1-2 instead of 3-4-2-1, you know, and see if actually we can get any change out of Werner. But I think you're probably right, but who knows? I mean, you know, great Tommy T always throws in an outlier from most of the selections that we do. We kind of almost always get it almost right, but there's always like one player he throws in that we go, oh, yeah. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
So there we go. Anyway,
I said a couple of weeks ago, Chidge, didn't I? I said under Tuchel, you will get a chance. It's up to you to take it. If you don't, then it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, obviously the big thing is, of course, we said this earlier on, you know, Pulisic probably wouldn't have started anyway, but he's definitely out. James is definitely out because he's suspended, and I think he probably would have started. You know, Kante would have started if he was fit, and Silva maybe, but I'm not entirely sure. But I think the real point is, and I was saying this earlier on as well, wasn't I, to Adam, about, you know, they've only had one day's training. Dane mentioned it absolutely spot on. They've had three matches in the international break, whereas I think normally it's two. You know, it's early in the season, so I don't think you can really complain about them being fatigued by it, but, you know, because they are getting their fitness up, so maybe that will help. But I just wonder what the international effect, the international break's effect might be on this game. And I'm kind of also thinking, Dane, a bit more widely, because we've all done our Premier League predictions. And it's difficult doing them because you don't know quite what the extent of the damage has been done by the international break. And I wonder how that applies to us, maybe.
Well, yeah, exactly. What we had three German players in Iceland, one in Italy, one in Spain, two in Poland, although Reese was an unused sub. And the previous night before, Kovacic and Christensen played big minutes. It's And that's a big chunk of our players. And I haven't done my Premier prediction, so thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, you get them in tonight, mate. It's 12:30 kickoff. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, JK, are you a bit worried about that? Or I mean, he's managed it before, so, you know, maybe we shouldn't be too worried.
Nah.
Love it. Okay, then what about Villa? Is there anything about Villa that worries you? Because, I mean, my feeling on Villa is that they're no mugs, but we're better than Villa.
Ings is a good player. Very good player indeed. Watkins is a very good player. Yeah, scores some nice angles.
And quick.
Very clever. Mings is a decent player as well. Played well for England in the summer. Plays. In fact, I came through watching him, a bit of affection for him. I thought he gives 100% and is very competitive. So, you know, I think one positive you can say about the international break is you do, if players do play, play well for the team, you can assess them very differently from their club sides. And I like that. And so, I don't think they should really stand a chance against the Chelsea side playing as well as this, as under such a fantastic manager, as indeed Justin said. So I would be predicting a very easy win.
Indeed. And Dane, I mean, it's hard to argue with that, really. I mean, what I would say about this game tomorrow, because, you know, this is such an infuriating thing about this particular international break, I think, because you get into the start of the season, you play three games, you can build up a bit of momentum, and then it just grinds to a halt. So for me, the win is important tomorrow, by any means necessary, to restart that momentum again. Would you agree with that?
Yes, yeah, I'll absolutely, yeah. I'll take anything 1-0, 2-1. Yeah, 3-2, in off your bum, you know, I'll take it anyway. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. You're right, the internationals grind me down. You know, I can't really watch America because they play like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. So the other 2 weeks of internationals is just have no interest in me. To be fair, I actually turned on the Poland game for 15 minutes and I quite enjoyed it. And, you know, it's nice seeing Mount and Grealish really play very well together. But I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. You know, there's a lot going on. I've got to go and see Marco, go and see a couple of people. I'm really looking forward to I don't usually buy a program either, but Gary Hayes has done a piece with Johnny Vaughan about Sean Locke, the comedian who's a season ticket holder who unfortunately passed. And I know, I think they've agreed with Bruce Buck to try and do an applause in the 58th minute. So I'll definitely be buying a programme tomorrow. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. And yeah, I'll take anything. It'd be nice seeing Lukaku back as a big player, you know, for his second home debut for us at Stamford Bridge. Yeah, but I'll take anything, you know. You know, when you get to our age, you know, we've been going to Chelsea so long, you know, it's always so nice to go into the ground and just sit and absorb. And I get so many memories from just, you know, I always have like 5 minutes to myself when I look around and so many flashbacks. And it's always a pleasure going. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow.
I mean, so am I. And like you said, I've got a mad day tomorrow. I've got a couple of great mates coming. Well, a great mate who's coming over from Sonoma in California, hopefully armed with a bottle of Pinot Noir for me. actually, it's for my wife as a peace offering. I said to him, I said, you realise that I'm coming out here because I've got him a couple of tickets. I'm going to meet him, going to introduce him to Kerry and Canners and a few things like that. Take him down the cock to meet all of us lot. But Matt, actually sat on the benches at Putney Station, probably in our second ever Fancast season. So he goes back a long way. So it's going to be great to see him, but that's going to be a busy day. I'm going to get books signed for other people. It's going to be mad, mad, mad. But the reality is, the thing I'm looking forward to most, obviously, is, of course, watching Chelsea again. I mean, it was weird, wasn't it, the Villa game? Because, you know, in a way, it was all like, I don't know, it was kind of so emotional to be back for me that it all kind of, I couldn't tell you now what the score was. I couldn't tell you because it just didn't sink in. It was just so fantastic to be back. You know, that's all that really, really mattered. So, so tomorrow is going to be different. Tomorrow, in a way, feels for me like proper football is back. And of course, the other thing, as you mentioned, Dane, Lukaku didn't play for us against Palace. So this has been my first opportunity to see him play. Now he's come back. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So we can watch him, as we've always talked about before. You know, we get different views and eyesights when we're at the ground. And it's so, as JK has always said before, it's so nice to like watch one player and see the runs and see the movement. We can have that, obviously, blessing tomorrow. One thing about going back to our first game season, one thing I realised when I was walking up to the stadium, it's a little bit it was a little bit negative. But I was thinking, oh my God, because I know the season ticket holders around me. And I was really scared that I was going to go up, sit in my seat, and someone was going to go, unfortunately, he passed from COVID, and I was not looking forward to that. But luckily, no, you know, people did. But luckily, in our little circle, no one, everyone was fine. It's nice seeing everyone again after nearly, 18 months as well.
Yeah. I mean, I did think the same, actually, Dane, but it was hard to tell. But I saw all the people that I knew kind of, around me, and it was good to see them all back there. JK, how do you see the match going tomorrow?
4-0.
4-0. Is that it?
Brilliant.
Who's going to
Lukaku scored two.
Yeah, he's got a great record against Villa. You know, he scored five times against them in the Premier League. Yeah,
I think we'll be much too strong for them.
I think losing Martinez for them and Wendy is a massive blow.
Massive blow.
Who is their reserve goalie, Chidge?
Oh, that's a good point. It's in the notes I sent you, but I can't remember his bloody name.
Heaton left, didn't he? Heaton's gone United for some reason. I don't know.
I can tell you, if you talk amongst yourselves for a minute, I think it's Jed Farr or something. Something like that. Come on, where is it? Why can you never find anything when you... Jed Steer.
Jed Steer.
Yeah, Jed Steer. But he hasn't played for them in the top flight since he was a sub. An 8th-minute sub and a 2-1 loss to Wolves in October.
You'll probably have a worldie, Chidge.
Oh, that's don't. You see, now you've hexed it, haven't you? You've hexed it.
Yeah.
And you've gone for 4-0 in your Prem Predictions League as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Bit of continuity. I think we need to stick to that. If we predict it in the show, we've got to stick with it in the Prem Predictions.
Yeah, I got it wrong last time. I thought it was 5-0 and it was 6-0 for
you,
that.
You were actually very unlucky with that, I have to say. You were very unlucky with that. Dane, how about you, mate? What are you going for?
It's going to go 3-0, but I really like JK's 4-0 with Lukaku scoring two. I thought he was going to say Lukaku four, but yeah, I'm going to go for 3-0. I've been really good on Chelsea. As I said, the only mistake I made was I put in for one result, and my wife said no, it's going to be this one. I listened to her, otherwise I would have had all Chelsea correct.
Is she the guru then, Dane? Is that what?
Yeah, she thinks she is. Yeah, she thinks she can. You know when someone messes with your mind and you think, oh, I should have just shut up, because what I would have predicted was right, and she was eventually wrong. But now I'm going to go 3-0, comfortable.
I get that when I look in the mirror. No. Don't. What are you suggesting? No.
Well, there we go. What a revelation. I'm going to go for 2-0. OK, because I mean, on the basis that Chelsea, apart from when they get cheated out of it by referee Anthony Taylor and Liverpool, very, very rarely concede goals thanks to their brilliant tactics and defence and Edouard Mendy. So I'm going, Villa not to score. But also we just don't score bags of goals under Tuchel. We've only done it, I think, scored more than two once. And we just don't. But, I mean, see, what we don't know at the moment is whether that's just because our finishing was just so abhorrent last year or whether that actually this might improve because we've got Lukaku and we might really bury teams. But, against Arsenal, we should have buried them, and we didn't. So, and, I mean, Palace were just absolutely shit. And we should have buried them. We should have buried them by more than three, let's be honest. Yeah.
There were many chances.
Yeah, I'm just thinking I'm going to go for two. So you're 4-0, JK. You're 3-0, Dane. I am 2-0. So somewhere along the line, we've probably got it horrendously wrong.
If there was a fourth member of this panel, there would be a 1-0.
If Clayton was here, there'd be a 1-0.
1-0.
Exactly. So there we go. Well, I hope it does work out. Any one of those is fine by me, because as Dane and I were saying, I think it's really important that we win to pick that momentum up again. It's all about momentum in this league. Tommy T knows that, I think, very, very well. And that's, of course, exactly what he did to the back end of last season. Here's an interesting stat for you, actually. In the last, I think it's something like 13 league games, Tuchel has won more points for Chelsea than anybody but Man City. You know, so there's not. I mean, if you compare, you know, Chelsea and City, Tuchel and Guardiola in that period, we're not far behind them, which is an interesting point in terms of everybody being very positive about us mounting a title challenge this year. So there we go. I'll leave you with that. This has been enormously huge fun, as it always is. Many thanks to the lovely people in Mixlr. I hope you've been enjoying the show. Mark's in there. Mark Meehan's in there. And he's reminded me quite rightly, new issue of CFC UK is out. So if you want a copy of the new edition of CFC UK, you can pick it up from the stall tomorrow and meet the likes of Marco and DJ and a few other reprobates like myself who will be hanging around. Right.
Pitch. How do you pay for it? Do people use coins anymore?
Do you know what? I mean, I actually now, Dave sends them in the post to me, so I got mine today.
Yeah.
But I presume people will still pay by coin. I said to Marco last time we saw him, I said, you need to get Apple Pay, mate.
Yeah,
you know, and he chuckled and he thought, he said, that's not a bad idea. But I think it would be terrible in a way because it's always been only a pound.
Yeah.
Now, only an Apple Pay doesn't have the same ring, does it?
It doesn't. You could always put the price up.
Maybe he could change it. No, he won't do that. He's gonna.
No, he would never do that.
He's never going to do it. But maybe what you could do is change it to Apple Pay, and then his cry can be, "Hurry up! Only an Apple." and then people will give him an apple, a proper apple, like one that comes off a tree, and it'll get very confusing.
Instead of any money,
yeah,
I think he'd have to then open a grocer's.
He could. There's a new future for Dave here. He could run a proper market stall. There you go. Anyway, we'll leave you with that surreal thought. JK and myself will be back on Monday, of course, for the main Chelsea Fancast show, and we will be joined by the housewife's favourite, JK.
Housewife's choice.
Even.
Clayton Beerman.
Yep. Dear old Clayton will be back with us, and we will be looking back at the Villa match, obviously, and I suspect we'll be having a quick look ahead to the Zenit St. Petersburg match, which, of course, is at the Bridge on Tuesday, our first Champions League match this season as defending champions. How good does that sound? Dane, always lovely to see you, mate. We saw you a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Or was it last week?
A week ago today. Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed tonight. I can only say how much of a pleasure it is, like, just being on this podcast, this platform, and sharing airtime with you. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm so looking forward to tomorrow being back at Stamford Bridge as well.
Me too. Couldn't agree more. And as always, JK, an absolute delight to see you. Have a great time. Can you please, if I don't see you tomorrow, can you make sure you give Alex a massive hug from me?
Of course.
A cuddle, yeah.
Of course.
No tongues, obviously, but...
No. I won't even lick the back of her head.
Don't lick the back of her head. You know I like to do that. But, give her a big hug from me because I love her to pieces. So do tell her that.
I'll definitely tell her that.
Good man.
Great deal of love for her. She's great.
Absolutely. So, have a great time at the game tomorrow. Enjoy your roast swan and Sopwith and everything. And I will maybe see you tomorrow night. And you are doing a fan bite, right?
Aye.
But I
hope to get Alex to do it. Let's be honest. As I said, I want her to. She may not want to go along with it. I'll ask her. I haven't told her yet.
But if not, you'll do it solo, and it'll be brilliant as ever. And I'm driving home tomorrow, so I'll look forward to seeing it when I get home. Hopefully,
good. Yeah. Well, I'll do it at the bridge.
Brilliant.
But in which case, we'll try and do it in Aussies. If necessary, we'll go outside and do it. I don't know. Yeah.
Do it in Aussies. Why not?
Yeah.
Bit of ambiance there.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Right, that's it, guys. Thank you very much for listening, as always. We will see you, of course, on Monday. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, keep it chels.
Up the chels!
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.